We're going to talk to you about some things concerning steps of faith, but there's a couple of things that I want to go over before we kind of get into that. It will lead up to it, because there is some things in the heart of God that we as the church have to become clear on. And we're very grateful. We're very thankful for everything God has revealed. And anytime God will reveal something to us, if we will value it, if we will count it as a pearl of great prize, He will always reveal more. Yeah. But sometimes when revelation is given, or even words of clarity or direction, because it doesn't fit us, those things are ignored. That's why people wander through life and never know really what they're supposed to do, because they never valued what was gave. And so in that, we are a group of people that value every time God reveals something to us or talks to us. Yeah. Amen. And we cherish it and we honor it. But here in Matthew chapter 6, we'll pray and then we'll start reading in verse 10. Father, we love and thank You and praise You this morning. We thank You for utterance in the Holy Ghost. We thank You, Father, that Lord Jesus, when You were here on planet Earth, You talked about the advocate. John records many things about Him, the paraclete. But one of the things You said about Him is He was given the responsibility to lead and guide, but the other thing was the teacher. Thank You, sir, for teaching us, pulling the cover off of the Word of God. We thank You that calamity and distress and being broke was never instructed by the head of the church to teach his family, but it is by the Spirit of God. So, teacher, this morning, pull the cover back. We value what You've already revealed to us. Therefore, we have set ourselves in a position to be shown more. And we thank You for it. We give You glory and honor and praise for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone agreed, said amen, please. In Matthew chapter 6, we know the Lord's teaching His disciples about some things of prayer. But in verse 10, it's interesting. He said, Thy kingdom come, what? Thy will be done. Thy will be done, where? Earth. In earth, as it is in heaven. Now, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We already know this, but I'm just going to quickly touch on it. Jesus said, when the kingdom of God and the way the kingdom of God operates in heaven, when it comes to earth, I will it to be shown in earth through the church. A lot of times at funerals, when people have had physical ailments and issues in their physical body and they leave earth, but they were born again, the minister might say they're not hurting no more. Or family member says that now at least they're free. But see, that's wrong thinking in the church, because Jesus said the way it is in heaven, it ought to be showing up on planet earth. Amen. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to enjoy the benefits of Jesus. If you've ever received an inheritance on earth, when do you get it? When you die or the person left it died? So why do we think it takes death to perfect the inheritance? Amen. Because how many know you didn't leave the inheritance, you inherited the inheritance. Jesus left the inheritance and He already died and come back alive the third day. Amen. So we don't have to wait to get to heaven to enjoy the kingdom of heaven, right? So, and then you know this, these scriptures. Luke 17:21, Jesus says at the tail end of that verse that, behold, the kingdom of God is where? Luke 17:21. Within you, right? So tell your neighbor, say, when I got saved, the kingdom of God come in me. So when the kingdom of God came into you and me, He said the same way the kingdom of God operates in heaven, I will it to operate on planet earth through you.
Amen.
So in that, now, if you would, go over to Deuteronomy chapter 11, please. Deuteronomy 11. And let's look at these couple of things here. We might later in another service get into some of this, but we'll see how, what the Spirit of God says. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, for time's sake, just look at verse 21. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Did God give children of Israel Canaan's land?
Yes. Yes, he did.
Look at your neighbor and say the answer is yes. Okay. Now, we know that. Numbers 13, 1 and 2. God said, I give unto the children of Israel Canaan's land. All right. Now, in Canaan's land, that was a land that floweth with milk and honey. It was not just enough, and it wasn't the land of not enough. It was a land of more than enough. Now, isn't it interesting that Moses, writing by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, says when they get into Canaan's land, he said, your days may be multiplied. Everybody say, long life.
Long life.
And the days of your children in the land, yeah. which the Lord swear unto your fathers to give them. Now, tell me that last sentence, please. As what? Who'd God tell that to? Children of Israel. Is that right? Did God tell them in Canaan's land it ought to be in the days of heaven where? Almost sounds like Matthew 6. Now, go with me, please, to 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, please. Look at, let's look at verse 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, and then we'll go down through about verse 4. Paul said, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. So how many know this happened 14 years prior, somewhere in that vicinity? And Paul said, whether I was in the body, I couldn't tell. Whether I was out of the body, I can't tell. How many of you know, if you've ever been out of your body, I've been out of mine 3 times, and you can leave and you still got a hand, you still got an arm? Are you with me? Paul said when he left his body and went to the third heaven, he said he couldn't tell whether he's still in it or out of it because he still had a hand and still had an arm. That's why he said that term. He said, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I couldn't tell. Whether out of the body, I couldn't tell. God know it. And then what? Such a one caught up to where? Third heaven. Everybody say third heaven.
Third heaven.
All right, verse 3, please. And then he said, I knew such a man, whether in the body, out of the body. I couldn't tell. God know it. Verse 4, please. How that he was caught up into where?
Paradise.
And did what? Well, I thought he was caught up to the third heaven. Very often people will liken heaven, and it is, to paradise. But they never relate paradise to where they live now. And the church has to get to a place that we are the richest, healthiest, most victorious bunch on planet Earth, that we look like paradise. The word paradise is interesting. It means a very beautiful, pleasant place, a place of delight. Listen to this. God desired the Jewish people to live in such a way on earth, it would show the entire world how good he was. Then Jesus says to the church, when the kingdom of God comes, the same way it's operating in heaven or paradise, I will it to operate through my church.
Amen.
Look at somebody and say, that's us.
That's us.
Tell your other neighbor, say, that's me.
That's me.
Now, in that, if you would please, go now back to, let's go to Psalms 127. Now, we're going to get after the steps of faith. Now, in this, what we're going to look at and understand, and probably the next service I'll do, is we're going to show you the greatest thing when God told them, I want days of heaven on earth in this land I give you. Well, I mean, no, when you and I got saved, we came into the family of God.
Yes.
We're not waiting to go to heaven. I mean, no, we will go to heaven when we leave our body, but he said we can have days of heaven on planet Earth.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
So in that, you know, if you're sick, or if you're broke, if you're divorced, if you're depressed, if you're frustrated, are you with me? Now listen to me. If you've been through a divorce or going through a divorce, how many know God is good and God will help you get through it?
Yes.
Are you with me? We're not talking about that. But if we live as crazy and as defeated as the world and then invite people to come to the family of God, they've got enough trouble already. Why take on any more? Are you with me? How many of you besides me have ever been through some pretty crazy stuff in some deep waters? But how many of you know we are not called to live there? We are called to go through it. We are not called to live in the valley of death. We are called to pass through it and get some folk while we're going through it and tell them, you ain't supposed to build a tent here and live here. You're supposed to come on through this. We serve a God that's more than enough. You don't have to live defeated here in this crazy world. Amen. Glory to God. Now, in that, it's interesting that to lead anybody, okay, I'll show them. Go over to Mark 11. Go over to Mark 11, please. Mark 11, and look at, you know the story. Jesus talked to the tree, right?
Yeah.
Said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And I'm pretty sure that struck up quite a bit of talk around the campfire. But you know, really. I mean, but I could go a whole nother place, but we won't. But they, later the next morning, they come back by and Peter, thank God for Peter. Peter says, Lord, the tree that you talked to yesterday is dead. It's dried up from the roots. And Jesus said, I really wish you all could do it. But you know, I am the Son of God, but you can't. But you ought to be glad I'm here. No, but people think that. He didn't tell somebody, slap them on the shoulder, not hard. Slap them on the shoulder, tell them, say, Jesus said that. That we ought to have faith in God. Some of y'all are getting people a little hard. All right now, okay. Amen. Remember that person ahead of you is not your enemy, okay? Amen. Now, but he said, Jesus answering saith unto them, what?
Have faith in God.
Now, there's two other phrases in the King James Bible, in the study Bibles. If you'll look, do you know what the other two are? Most of them are in the margin of the Bible. Pardon? Have the faith of God and? Thank you. There are three things here that people have got to understand. The first thing Jesus said in response to Peter, the tree's dead, he said, Peter, you got to what? You got to have faith in God. Only having faith in God will put you in the family of God. But you are not, you cannot live that way. Because the just are not supposed to live by having faith in God. Why are y'all looking at me in that tone of voice? Let me come over here and try this group. He said, the just shall live
by
faith. Thank you. By the faith of God. Or by the God kind of faith. But to have faith in God will put you into the family. But folks, I'm going to tell you something. God did not, how many of y'all know here? I know you know it. We don't pray about God doing something about our problem or about the devil. Thank you for those two real weak amens. That's right. I said, we don't ask God to do something about the devil. He put that in our arena through the authority that he gave us in Jesus' name.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Yes.
You can breathe up all the oxygen in this room praying, oh God, do something about the devil, and tell you it's all carbon dioxide and all we're all going to get is a headache. Are you with me? It ain't going to help nothing.
Yeah.
Because faith, or having the God kind of faith, you're supposed to live by.
Yeah.
That's why that's in that next verse.
Yeah.
In the margin. So, to have faith in God means you believe God is God, that Jesus is his son, he died, he rose from the dead, that'll put you into the family of God. But after that, you got to start learning how to live by faith.
Amen.
Having the God kind of faith.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Well, what is the God kind of faith? Well, in Genesis, it tells you that God came back to earth. He'd been gone for millions of years. Jeremiah 4:23, he says the earth is not in complete tohu vabahu. It says that. That's a word for void. And he left with the pre-Adamic race. He left for millions of years. That's why you'll find dinosaurs and stuff. They were eating a leaf and they died. They froze to death. Really. That's why. They just died. Because, see, there wasn't no sun or moon. God didn't make that till the fourth day. So what lit the earth before then? Same thing that lit it before the sun and the earth the next time. His presence. Genesis 1:3. And God said, myself. You know, we'd say, my God, it's dark out here. God didn't say, myself, it's dark out here. Right? Amen. Right? Did he say that? But see, people will do that. They will say stuff like, oh, you know, my Sacharadiac, or what's that thing called? A Sacharadiac or whatever it is. Amen. But they'll say stuff like that. And then they'll be like, would you please pray for me? No. That's in your court.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I am not going to agree with stupidity.
Yeah.
I'm preaching real good. Let me try over here now. They were doing good and they got it on a little soft on that one. Ignorance is when you don't know. Stupid is when information's given and you're still hard-headed.
Amen.
Look at two neighbors and say, I'm so glad I ain't sitting by nobody stupid.
Right.
We might not know everything, but thank God there ain't no stupid folk in here today.
Amen.
Amen. All right, now, so Jesus said, have the God kind of faith.
Yes.
To have faith in God means, oh God, do something about my problems. We are going to watch you live in problems.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when you begin to understand, okay, let's go to Genesis 3. I know y'all want to go look. Genesis 3. I don't have this one in my notes, but this is a better one. Genesis 1:3, please. Ready? Yes, okay. Genesis 1:3. Amen. Verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. That word void means tohu bahu. That's what it means. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, myself, it's dark out here. But see, people will call things the way it is instead of the way they desire. And just because you've got faith in God doesn't mean God's going to move on your behalf, because God is not sovereign everywhere. God is sovereign, meaning the word sovereignty means needing anything to exist. God doesn't. Needing something else to acquire or be with to be able to survive. God doesn't. God is self-sufficient.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
But meaning he's in control is wrong.
Right.
Folks, if God's in control of this now, heaven ought to be in a disarray.
It's true.
And why would we want to go there if it's like this? If he's in control here. But he gave instructions to the children of Israel. He said, I want the way it looks like where I live to be on earth. Would you just please do it for me? They didn't get there. So Jesus said, okay, we're going to be able to be born again. When the kingdom gets in you through the new birth, The same way the kingdom of heaven looks like in heaven, would you let it be seen on earth through the church?
Amen. Amen.
Now, Genesis 1, please. So then he says, and God said, did I say we're talking about steps of faith? So I gave the theme. We're not preaching about it, but we said it, okay? All right, but it really, this is steps of faith. And God said what? And what? Can you hold that? We're going to come back. Can you hold it? Go to 2 Corinthians 4:16, please. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians is right after 1 Corinthians 4, or not 16, 4, 6, 4, 6. Ready? 2 Corinthians 4, 6. Thank you, guys. For God, who commanded the light to shine, where? Hath what? And it's amazing, I look in my Bible and it says Genesis 1:3. Is it in y'all's? Is it refer you to Genesis 1:3? Should. So there ain't no way he can be talking about the sun and the moon. If you all got the moon in you, I want to see it. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to do what? Look at somebody, say, I'm supposed to spread the knowledge of God here. By what? By showing what the kingdom of God looks like. Now, go back to Genesis. So, verse 3, and God said, what did he say? Let there be light. And there was light. Tell your neighbor, say, he said, let my presence one more time work on the earth again. Or you can just tell him something. Amen. Amen. But that's what he said. Because what was it? Is it the fourth day that he makes the sun and the moon? Is that right? About the fourth day? Fourth day, yeah. So about from 14 down through 19, he makes the firmaments of the light to divide day, night, all that stuff. Greater light to rule the day, that's sun. Light to rule the night, that's the moon, stars. And in verse 19, he says the evening and the morning were the fourth day. When did he make the sun and the moon and the stars? So what light is he talking about in Genesis 1:3? His glory, his presence. And then he said in 2 Corinthians 4, that light, the same one when he spoke light be, he's put inside of you and me. To show the knowledge of him to the world in the face of Jesus Christ. Right?
Yes.
Now, everybody say, God kind of faith. Now, with that thought in mind, go back, please, to Mark. Well, no. Let's stay there. Go over to Genesis 2. Well, look at verse 126 first. Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish, sea, the fowl, the air, cattle, all the earth, all every creeping thing creepeth on the earth. Now, we know God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. How many know in verse 26, he did not make man yet? Everything God did, he spoke it, then he gave the anointing time to manifest it. People get frustrated when they say things and it don't happen instantly. But if it's a word from God, an agreement with God, there has to be an anointing on it. So you've got to give the anointing time to manifest it or create it or position it. Why did he take 6 days to do all of this? Is he God?
Yes.
Could he done it in 6 days? I don't know. I'm assuming he could. But he started this thing to show us how his faith, the God kind, works. And he told the church. Now, how many of you know this? I know you do. How many of y'all ever read Habakkuk? And some other Old Testament scriptures. How many of y'all ever read where God would tell them, you're going to have to live by faith? Now, he didn't say the just, because they wasn't justified yet, except by the blood of animals. You and I have been justified just as if we've never done nothing wrong. But he'd tell them that they had to still live by faith. Faith is not a New Testament term. That's why when he told the children of Israel, I give you Canaan's land, go get it. If they believe it and trust him and act on it, that still qualifies as faith. Right? So God gave man, what did he give him? Let them have what?
Dominion.
You guys already know. Can you pull up, we'll come back to this. Can you pull up Luke 4, 5, and 6 in the Amplified? Devil taking Jesus up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of this world in a moment of time. And he said unto Jesus, all this power and glory will I give thee if you'll just bow down and worship me. Remember that? And at the tail end of the verse, he said, for it has been turned over to me, and whomsoever I will, I can give it. He said unto him, to you I will give all this power and authority and their glory, all their magnificent excellence, preeminence, dignity, and grace, for it has been turned over to me, and I give it to whomever I will. Lucifer, Satan said that to Jesus. How many temptations were they?
Three.
Are all three legit?
Yes.
Okay. If this was not legit, Jesus should have said something.
Yes.
He should have said, Satan, all the glory of the earth, the world system, the power and authority is not yours to give if it wasn't his to give. And people have confused the word world. Everybody say world, please.
World.
The word world means cosmos. The world is not the earth. Right? What about 2 Corinthians 4:4? It says, our eyes are being blinded, I think that's about verse 3, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the men of the eyes of them, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. But it's little g, God of this world. That word world means system or cosmos. But Corinthians says, what is it 1 Corinthians 10 that says that the earth is the Lord's and the
fullness thereof.
See, in the denomination I grew up in, we would sing songs like, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. And I don't want none of this world's goods. It takes us about a 30 second, 40 second. You can lead somebody to Jesus and get them into the family of God. But it takes a lifetime to get goofy thinking out of folk.
Yeah. It's true.
They have faith in God, but they never get to the place to begin to live by faith. So, where was I? Did we look at 2 Corinthians 4:4? And does it say God, little g of this world? In whom? Thank you. In whom the who? God of this world. Who's the God of this world? Tell your neighbor, say it's not earth. That's the system. Okay? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Our dad has cattle on 1,000 hills. All the gold, all the silver, all the uranium, all the oil is in the earth. That should belong to the church. Okay, now, in that, where did we quote before y'all had me go to that? Genesis 1:26. Let us make the man in our image after our likeness. Let them have what?
Dominion
over what?
Fish of the sea.
Fish, sea.
Cattle.
Cattle.
Mm-hmm. And every creeping thing.
Is that the earth?
Yeah.
That's different. Only the system. We don't have time to go there. But in Ezekiel 28, it'll talk about the prince of Tyrus and the king of Tyrus. One is a man who lives literally on earth. The other one is an invisible kingdom who was in Eden, the garden of God. Should we go? Yeah, let's go. Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28, please. Ezekiel chapter 28, please. Say glory when you get over. All right, y'all quick. I'll get there with you. Ezekiel 28. Look at verse 2. Ezekiel 28, 2. Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God. Everybody say prince of Tyrus. Thus saith the Lord God, because thy heart is lifted up, now said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of the north, in the midst of the seas. What did he say, though? And? Okay. So, question. Is the prince of Tyrus a man with a visible kingdom on earth?
Yes.
All right. Now, verse 12. Please. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon who? King of Tyrus. And say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, that sellest up to some, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Verse 13. Read that one to me. Who was in Eden? Who? There's four. God, who came in the cool of Eden and walked with Adam. Adam, Eve, and the serpent. That's the only four you'll find that was in the Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. This guy here, the king of Tyrus, mm-hmm. can't be a man. This has to be Lucifer. Mm-hmm. So we got two identical kingdoms. One's on earth, one's invisible. And the invisible one, have you ever seen them little stick dolls that's got strings tied to them and you got these little deals and you can... All that stuff. What are they called?
Puppets.
And so, but you know what I'm talking about. They got the strength. And so, you know, make them look like they're looking or walking, all that. So you've got Satan who's got an invisible kingdom, and he's looking for somebody on earth that will yield to him to show what his kingdom looks like. But Jesus says, I've got a kingdom. And I'd really like everybody on earth to show the earth what my kingdom looks like. His kingdom is invisible, but you can see it through you. Let's go back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. Everybody say steps. All right, verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have what? Dominion. All right, now. If you would, please, go all the way over to chapter 2, verse 15. Please, 2:15. Ready? God, thank you. Yes, please. Took the man. To do what? Dress it and keep it. Right? Look at somebody say, Adam had a job. Okay, verse 16. Of every tree of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. Verse 17. But of the tree of knowledge, of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Right? Now, verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. Is the woman made yet? No. No. What did he say? Help meet for him. Verse 19. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam. To do what? Tell me the rest, please. God made everything out of the dirt of the ground. And then once he made it, he called them. He said, hey, everything I made, come here. And so here they all come. And they lope up there. And they're all standing out here. And God's right here. Adam's standing beside him. And God backs up. And he says, it's too late now for me to call him because I've already put that now in the dominion of man. I can't name you no more. And whatever he, the man that I gave dominion to, calls you, that'll be your name from now on. And people jokingly call themselves broke and poor. Now, it's interesting, when God appeared to Abraham, I think he was 75, and he told him, get out of the land of Ur of Chaldees, I'll show you a place, this and that and the other, I will make of thee a great nation, and tells him a whole bunch of stuff. Well, then several years later, Abraham was 90, he was 99, and Ishmael was 13. So how old was he when he had Ishmael? Pardon? 86. He was 86 when he had Ishmael. Up until that time, if you'll follow the life of Abraham, God talked to him pretty regular. God never talked to him for 13 straight years. Not a word. After Ishmael. You've got to remember that when God tells you something or gives you a word and you become hard-headed or want to do it your way, you will flounce and flounder, and it will seem as if the heavens over you are brass. This is good. This is some best preaching I ever heard in my life. Amen. Thank God for the Holy Ghost helping us. Are you with me? I don't have this in my notes. Thank God. Amen. So, in that, what did God do when he turned 99? Can y'all tell me? He appeared to him. And he said, Sister Billy Brim, good friend of ours, she said, some of the letters, she said, there's really not a name for God, not in the Jewish language. We call him Yahweh, Elohim, all of these things. But the names they described him by, Jehovah Jireh, you know, our provider, Jehovah Nisei, Jehovah Rapha, all of those names are characteristics. Those are manifestations of him to describe him. But she said, there's really not a name for him. She said, God is an old German word. But she said, there are letters. And their letters are different than ours, but she said, God told Abram, he said, I called you when you were 75, a father of a multitude, and your name is Abram. I'm going to take some letters out of my name, H-A-M, Ham. I'm going to tack that on the end of your name. That's why a wife does that now, representing covenant. But he said, when I tack that on your name, your meaning of your name's going to change. And now it's going to mean what?
Father of a multitude.
Father of many nations, father of a multitude. Question. Do you think that Abraham, after God appeared to him and told him that, do you think he still called himself Abram? Why? It don't matter. Or does it?
Yes, it does. It does matter.
Why would a believer who's got revelation of what Jesus bore by having faith in God puts us into the family of God when we accept Jesus? But you've got to learn how to live by the faith of God. And not just say any crazy thing you want to say. How many of y'all think Abraham went around and still called himself Abram? Introducing himself to people. Hi, I'm Abram. Oh, I know God. And somebody say, well, I thought you said God said you was called Abraham. Yeah, I know, but it really don't matter. People do that all the time. Amen. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for helping us. Amen. So, in verse 19, Abraham's standing here. God backed up. So, Abraham's standing there and he's like, real long-legged deal, got a long neck and eat leaves out of a tree. Got spots all over him. You look like a giraffe. God says that's his name from now on. Kind of a heavy animal, got a horn on his nose. Runs around, wants to run into stuff. Let's call him a rhinoceros. God says, yep, that's his name from now on. Whatever you call yourself. All right, I'll show him. Go to Matthew 18, please. 18, amplified. Matthew 18, 18. So God and Adam still stand there and he says, what's that little short dumpy thing that likes to go in the water? Pardon? Thank you. Can you. Who would come up with a name, Hippopotamus? Adam did. Adam did. What's the name of him now?
Hippopotamus.
See, you have no right to change what God called you when you come into the family of God. You are blessed, but don't make that negative by words that are stout against him. Agree with him.
Amen.
Where'd I ask you to go? Matthew, thank you. Matthew 18:18. I think King James says, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. But look at the Amplified. Jesus is talking, I think it's in the red, in the King James, I believe.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, thank you. He said, truly I tell you, whatever you what?
Forbid
and?
Declare.
And unlawful. Where? Tell me the rest, please. Well, if it's already forbidden in heaven, how come heaven don't do something about it? That's only having faith in God. Was it dark when God come back to earth to work? Why didn't he call it the way he saw it? That wasn't what he wanted. How many of you in here besides my wife and I have been in trouble before? We should never know that each of us are in trouble by our countenance.
It's true.
Okay, I'll show them. Now, so he says here, whatever God forbids. No, what's it say? So if you would, y'all like that wall, go tap somebody. Don't hit them this time. Tap somebody on the shoulder. Say, this is your deal. And if you're not sitting by somebody, tell yourself, this is my deal. Sometimes people say, why in the world does all this craziness keep going on in my life? Ting! Why don't God do something about this? He did.
Right.
He's waiting on you now to do something. Because heaven's already declared if it's wrong and it's unlawful, it's already made the decision. That ought to not be going on in my kids' life.
Yeah. Right.
I'm just waiting on them to say something and do something about it.
Yes.
Whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, must be what is already forbidden where? And here we go. You ready? Whatever you permit. I don't like that, but it's so. Whatever I permit, then with that, wrong thinking will lead to wrong believing. And wrong believing will lead to wrong talking. And wrong talking will call wrong things to you.
Yes.
Whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful must be what is already permitted in heaven. If you permit certain things to go on in your life, heaven has to. Now, Psalms 27. And then Philippians 1. Psalms 27, please. Whew. Glory. Verse 11, please. Psalms 27:11. Can y'all read it to me, please? Plain path. Because of my enemies. Josh, in my Bible, where it says plain path, it's got a little number.
Yes, sir.
It says H-E-B, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And what's that say?
A way of plainness.
And then right below it?
Those which observe me.
Those which observe me. Those which observe me. Teach me to live because of those which observe me.
Right.
Teach me how to live because I was trained wrong. Teach me now how to live that I'm in the kingdom of God because of those which observe me. Now, King James says, because of who? Now, New Testament revelation. Who's your and my enemy?
Satan.
Don't look at nobody. Amen. Tell somebody, say enemy. Okay. Who's your enemy?
Satan.
Only Satan. Is that right? Okay. Now, New Testament revelation then. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. Teach me how to live because of Lucifer and his gang which observe me. How many of y'all know yourself? Three. That's not. How many of y'all know yourself?
Yes.
You should. How many know the body you live in? You're not a body, but you know it.
Yeah.
Okay, now, what trips your trigger? We won't repeat that one, but what else? quick example. How many of y'all ever been walk into a Walmart or a grocery store, and you go in, and the whole front's empty? And you go, and you're like, all right. And so you go do everything, and then as you're getting ready to head to the front, it's like an invisible call.
Everybody in the store, head to the front, quick.
And by the time you get there, it's like some of the checkers have now all of a sudden had to go on a break, but they wasn't working when you come in. And then there's everything is full. And if that bothers you, people wonder how come that stuff keeps happening. Your enemy has observed you and followed you long enough to take notes. He knows you better than you know your own self. The familiar spirits are never told to bother you. They are told to follow you and take notes and become very familiar with you. That's why situations are so fit for your life. Because they have followed you, they have watched you, and they've took notes. But David, even in the old covenant, said, God, teach me how to live. Walk in a path because of my enemies which observe me. If you twist when you get under a lot of pressure and you say crazy stuff, everybody look over this way. Why does that keep happening? Keep yielding to it. But if we get to a point where our words won't trip us, we don't say stuff when it happens. This just keeps happening to me.
Yeah, and it's gonna.
This always, how come, nah, they don't treat me right, nah. Everywhere you go, it's going to be like somebody's going to treat you bad. You ought to say stuff like, I'm God's favorite. Everywhere I go, people like me.
That's right.
Amen. And what'll happen when this crazy stuff happens and you just stand there and you're like, thank you, Lord God, I love you. Then the little imp will have to go back to Big D and say, everything, you know what I'm saying, amen. Everything that we've wrote down, I had it wrote down. Look, D, right here it is. It was long lines. People wanting to run people off of the road when they burn out and then slow up on traffic. And we've got all this stuff. We've been following them. I mean, it's wrote down.
Oh, yeah.
But today, something's happening. They're learning how to live on earth by the kingdom of God. And everything that used to work ain't working no more. And the words that are coming out of their mouth, can you read the words that are coming out of my mouth? The words that are coming out of their mouth, it's all scriptural. There's nothing in there that'll give us a legal right to get involved and cause trouble. They get mad, they just clam up. They used to go off and say all kinds of crazy things. And we just set all kinds of stuff up based on their words because they have the authority to name stuff. But now when they get mad, they say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
They keep saying, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I just get, these are the imps, not me. I just get so sick of hearing that. That's what they say.
Oh, yeah.
A believer ought to never say that.
That's right. That's right.
My wife and I, we pick at each other quite often. And she used to have a saying, chaps my hide. And it was funny. Oh, that just chaps my hide. I just chaps my hide. And then you start getting chapped hide. And you're buying all these creams. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. But we keep calling it.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah.
Then when it shows up, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. It don't go both ways. Look at your neighbor and say, I really think he's preaching to you by the way you're looking, but I ain't sure. Amen. Amen. You can ask my wife, I'm doing better in traffic. Really, honey, you gonna leave me hanging out here? Well, that's my confession, and I'm sticking to it. Levi, we didn't run nobody off the road yesterday, did we? High five. Traffic does not bother me.
Me either.
Amen. I'm saying it. Lack has no place in my life. I am rich.
I am rich.
I am victorious. And I'm telling you who I am in Christ Jesus. I am the head. People say, you know, I keep finding out I'm the last one to know everything. That's because you keep saying it. I don't never know nothing in the beginning. Are you with me? Even in the old covenant, people that wasn't even spiritually alive, God said, you are the head and not the tail. Revelation on a dog. What part comes in first? The head. Where's the tail? On the rear end. Right? It's at the back. You are the head. What'd she say? That worked too. Amen. 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 And see, when God stood there, and you know, what's them parrots? I'm pretty sure there's probably a parrot over there, and Adam's standing here, and God's here, and God's just waiting. He's like, whatever he calls you. He said, you know, I would call you maybe this, but I can't. I can't get involved because I've already declared and decreed this is in man's realm. So Adam says, a parrot. You look like a parrot. And I'm pretty sure that parrot says, I really don't want to be called a parrot. And probably was like looking at God, the creator, like, I don't want to be a parrot. Can you do something?
Yeah.
And people do this all the time. The word tells you what you look like, who you have become. But then they'll look to God like, God, the devil's messing with me. Will you do something? And the word says he's gave you through his son authority and power, the name that is above every name. Amen. Philippians 1:28 amplified, and we'll finish. Declare a thing, decree a thing, and do not for a moment, this is real important, be frightened or what?
Intimidated.
Folks, I'm going to encourage you. When people, he's preaching, huh? I died, this is what you do with that baby. Number 18, is that right, hon?
19.
Number 19, grandchild. Amen. Third generation of ministers. But do not for a moment be frightened or intimidated. If you don't mind, tell yourself or tell your neighbor, don't be frightened or intimidated. Where? 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 By what? Who are they?
Big D.
Big D. Revelation, Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You can't fight people. If you do and get a fighting spirit, you're going to end up on the junk heap.
It's true.
You'll have trouble in your health, trouble in your finances. You can't fight people. Okay? You have to know who your opponent is. Don't be frightened or intimidated in anything by your opponents and adversaries for such constancy and fearlessness. What constancy? Is that right, constancy? Constancy and fearlessness. What is he talking about?
Not being afraid.
Thank you. Not being frightened or what?
Intimidated.
You know, it's amazing certain diseases that carry such an intimidation to people.
Oh, yeah.
Even the believer. Not for a moment. Tell somebody, not for a moment.
Not for a moment.
Be frightened or intimidated in anything. In anything. In anything. In anything. You know, I was so thankful years ago when we would do prayer requests. You know, we finally got where we have little cards and we asked on it certain things to qualify. Because some people just randomly think of stuff that nobody's asked for us to pray. They don't believe. Some of them's not saved. Well, how many know there's certain things? If they're not saved, we need to pray the eyes of their understanding be enlightened instead of healing.
Yes. Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
There's procedures to be scriptural. And we was doing some prayer requests, and one prayer request was, pray that when I go to the doctor, I'll get a good report. And the Lord got after us about it. And he says, why in the world do you want to walk by sight?
Amen.
And I'm like, what do you mean? He says, I thought Isaiah 53:1 says, who hath believed our report and to whom the arm of the Lord revealed? Can you tell why the Holy Ghost had me go? Did y'all feel that wall we just run up again?
Yeah.
See, we just killed another sacred cow. We're going to have buffalo wings after a while. Are you with me? Really? Because we did. We hit it. Did you feel it? I had no idea. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. He'll have us address stuff. Because how many know, God loves you so much, he don't want you to leave here the same way you come.
Amen.
Or me either. Amen?
Amen.
So he said, why would you be... To get a good report from the doctor means you now believe because you got a good report. So you're no longer walking by faith. Uh-huh. You're walking by what you... See. He said, I thought in Isaiah 53:1 it says, who hath believed our report and whom's arm the Lord revealed? He said, what is my report? Well, Isaiah got it, and he said, Jesus not only bore our grief, sorrows, and transgression,
yes,
but he, with his stripes we are healed. Is that correct?
Yes.
Did Jesus take your and my diseases and lack and everything?
Yes.
Is that a good report?
Yes.
Then why do I need one from somebody else to have
That's
a good
it.
Report
Amen.
If I already got a good report?
Amen.
Does it make sense? So then he says, do not for a moment be frightened or intimidated in anything by your opponents and adversaries for such what? Constancy? Fearlessness? Listen to me. Most people are so unaware of things that follow you. They think they have a right to say anything and act any way their flesh wants. These things follow you. They are waiting, according to 1 Peter, for any sign of, how would I put it, openness or legal into your life through wrong actions, wrong words. They follow you. 1 Peter says they seek someone whom they may devour. I have a question for you, and we'll get close. We're after 12, guys. We'll get you out of here. How many of you really believe the devil cannot hurt you?
Amen. Amen.
Now see, some of you had to think. That's okay. That's okay. We're thinking. Tell me Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you power and authority. Tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by
any means
what? All right, who said it?
Jesus.
But see, that fear that's followed you intimidated you to be hesitant to say. These things will follow you. Thank you, guys. You're quick. So let's go back to Philippians 1:28. Nothing shall by any means what? Who said that? Okay. Now, Philippians 1:28, amplified, and we'll stop. And do not for a moment be frightened or intimidated in anything by your opponents and adversaries. Everybody say the devil, please. For such constancy and fearlessness will be a clear sign, proof and seal to who? Of their impending destruction. So if I do show fear, if I am intimidated, if I say the wrong thing, does it show a different sign? But then if I'm not intimidated, frightened by anything, by the opponent, it is a sure token, which means sign and evidence of your and my deliverance and zozo. Is that the right, how you say it? Thank you, sozo, which doesn't mean just being saved. It means deliverance, preservation, camp, all of those things. It is evident of your deliverance and salvation, and that from God.
Yes.
Tell somebody, I'm going to call it right. What I wanted you to see by that is that God Almighty, who was actually in the garden with Adam, could not correct Adam. God is inside of you by the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Ghost. He cannot correct you when you call wrong things to Him because He's put that authority in your life. But we're learning. Amen. Father, we love you and thank you. Holy Ghost, sir, we acknowledge you and we say to you, thank you. Thank you for helping us see some things. Thank you for helping us address what needed to be addressed, I believe. And thank you for pulling the cover back. We will value this. We will treasure it. We will honor it. And we thank you for it. Therefore, as we value and honor it, more will be revealed. And we thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Master. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, that's rich teaching. And you can tell so many things come up and they're touched on just a little bit, but time doesn't quite permit to go into each of them. So I would encourage you, all of the services that we have, we will prepare the recordings and post them online. They'll all be free. So you can stream those, listen to that again. Think about some of those things, you see. As you mentioned, our theme is Steps of Faith. I felt that strongly in my heart to have the Lord teach us that basically this, great miracles, great things are accomplished, but they're usually accomplished in steps. You grow, line upon line, precept upon precept, active obedience upon active obedience. If the Lord showed you everything that you might need to do and He has for you all at once, it'd blow you away. But there's steps to take. Little steps at a time sometimes, you know. And all will make sense and be supplied as you take the first. Why would the Lord show us everything if we won't take the first step?
Yeah.
So we're talking about steps of faith. So to sum up some things that He said today, just in case, oh, hey, that was a lot. What did He really say? He said this. We are commanded by Jesus, have faith in God. And you see, and He's correct. In translation, it could also be stated, have the God kind of faith. So where we all start having faith in God, Pastor Ricky is absolutely correct. The next necessary step is to realize we go no further until we understand the responsibility that is ours to live by faith and operate as He operates. Do what God does. We work the same way He works. Are we usurping authority? No. We've been tasked
and assigned authority in our own realm, in our own lives. So we have to take those steps, say those things, think those things, decide what God says I'm going to agree with, because if we don't, just as in his illustration of Adam naming and God stepping back, if we don't do it, God can't.
Yeah, that's right.
Because he's already provided and delegated authority. So steps of faith, not just faith in God, but the God kind of faith working in you. It's yours to work.
Amen.
You might think, I don't know if I can do that. Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. If you need to start small, we all do. Start small and grow. And it's amazing what happens. Jesus said, speak to a wind and a wave, and it will obey you. Speak to a tree, it will obey you. Say to the mountain, and it will move.
Amen. Yeah.
So that's what we're talking about, taking those maybe small steps of faith, but they're our responsibility. Amen? Boy, everything opens up as you take a small step. Just do the little bit you can do right now. Do what you can do now. Say what you can say now. Don't worry about the whole big thing. Just worry about the first step. I can't take steps 20 steps down. I have to take the 20 to get to the step 20 down. I can only take one step at a time to walk somewhere, right? If you're going to take a long journey, it's one step at a time. And so is the walk of faith, living by faith. It's one step at a time. So this was excellent. Not only faith in God, but the God kind of faith in you. Do what he does. Amen? Father, we thank you for this great service this morning. We're looking forward to the rest of the services coming up in this meeting. We thank you for them all. We thank you for creating opportunities for those who didn't think they could come. They'll be able to come. And Father, we just thank you for that. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see you 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. God bless.